We rise. We continue today in a series of texts we've been considering from 1 Corinthians. We turn to chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal," that word means as mere flesh, "as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strifes, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor is he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building." This is the word of the Lord. We pray. Lord, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Grace and peace to you all from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we have been planted, cultivated, and will at last receive the final harvest. Dear fellow redeemed, as you look outside, you might wonder why we would be talking about gardening or growth today. February and January can be among the most depressing months of the year. Things get dark, things become cold, and we see little growth or life in the world outside. But however, even in the bitter winter months, we still find God causing growth. I have here a bean which my children helped plant. With a little water and a paper towel and a jar, we find growth. It doesn't look like much, and yet here God is doing something, creating little roots and nourishment. It was, in a sense, a community effort. My wife got the jar ready. My children helped put the bean in. We've watered it day by day. Yes, it's a family effort. With the right people, the right environment, the right elements coming together, we find life being born and growth taking place. God is the creator of life. He gives life. He preserves life, and he ends life. However, notice how God did not make this happen apart from means, apart from something else being at work, coming together to make this happen. He could have easily had this sprout appear out of thin air in my hand today. God could have easily done that, but no. Instead, he's put it into the hands of people to come together and make this happen. He works through means, through people, environment, and earthly elements. God creates life and growth. Who is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We're talking about more than beans here. We're talking about people. God is the source of life, whether it's out in nature or it's in a Christian community. And notice how here, too, God does not work apart from the means. He has given us means to bring this together and make this happen. He's chosen to cultivate a Christian community through what we call the ministry of the word. Someone plants, someone waters, and God gives growth. It all begins with someone planting a seed. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We read in Acts chapter 18 how Paul himself visited Corinth and how he came across some fellow Jewish believers. That's where the planting took place. It wasn't just Paul, it was Aquila and Priscilla, two other Christians that came together to get this ministry started in Corinth. And yet Paul was a missionary. He was responsible for much planting. Throughout the Mediterranean world, he was spreading the word, planting congregations, and in many ways is responsible for that word coming all the way to a small group of Christians meeting in a YMCA in Chicago, who today call themselves Ascension Lutheran Church. It's an ongoing work. And yet Paul sees himself nothing more than a minister, literally a servant. He sees himself as nothing more than a servant with a role to play in all of this work. Even the commission to go to Corinth in the first place was not Paul's choice. When we turn back to Acts chapter 13, we find this too came through a community. The church in Antioch. In the church in Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Among them were Barnabas and Paul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Paul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. It was like a voters' meeting, coming together and commissioning Paul and Barnabas as missionaries to go into Asia Minor and even to Rome. It was a call. God operates through means. He works through the ministry of the word in Christian communities to get this work done, to make decisions and send forth missionaries. It's not without means. In fact, we have yet to mention the most important means in making life. We call it the ministry of the word. That is to say, it's a service of God's word. Through the word, God creates life, founds congregation, gives us faith today. As Peter writes, "You, brethren, have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. It withers and it fails. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word, the gospel which was preached to you." All flesh fades as the grass in the winter months. Apostles, missionaries, pastors are going to come and go. But what's going to remain? The word which abides forever. So God works through means. The right environment, the right conditions, a Christian community, and the ministry of the word coming together to plant. However, what good would it do to get this little seed started and simply leave it on its own? Simply leave it up to the seed to take care of itself and to survive. Without a community committed to caring and cultivating, the seed would die. Someone needs to keep on watering, keep on paying attention to the needs of this little seed. As I said before, the office of an apostle is a calling. But it's only one calling. It's only one means by which God makes this ministry of the word work. There are many callings, and we can see ourselves in each one of them having a part to play in the cultivation of a Christian community. Apollos is one mentioned in our text as the one who watered. He was known for his eloquence of speech. He was very enthusiastic, actually says in Acts, a preacher of the word, well instructed in the scriptures. We might all wish we had such gifts. We all wish we were Apollos, able to persuade people with the power of our speech and our eloquence. Even if you're not like Apollos, though, it doesn't mean you don't have a part to play. Apollos was just someone who watered. We are all one. The temptation is to rely so heavily on a certain pastor or a certain leader that we forget that we're all called to be part of this. We each have our own ministry. Each calling in the church has its place. Whether you're an usher, a Sunday school teacher, someone who counts the offering, a voter, a member of the ladies group, a child in Sunday school, we all have a part. We all have a calling. Likewise in the home, whether you're a father or a mother, a son or a daughter, whether you're entering those college years or you're entering the later years of life, whether you're in your prime health or in not so prime of health, whether you're thinking about marriage, thinking about starting a family, or thinking about your role as a grandmother or a grandfather, no matter what, it's all a community effort. Someone plants, someone waters, and God causes growth. Someone pays attention to these seeds in our midst who need to be cared for, who need to be cultivated, that we don't leave them on their own. Assume it's going to be up to everyone else to kind of fend for themselves, but we realize it's all a part of God bringing us together in the ministry of the word. It's a husband's calling to help his wife, a son's calling to help his mother, a pastor's call to help his members, and a congregation's call to keep on watering with the word. As the seed begins to grow, it's kind of at its most vulnerable stage. It needs to be protected from those harsh winter elements we see all around us. It needs a home. It needs warmth. God's put it into our hands to help provide these conditions. And yet, despite all we might do, there's one thing we're just not capable of doing: causing growth. Only God can do this in our hearts and in the hearts of others. I'm not just talking about the seed. I'm talking about the seed of faith, what is planted in the heart of each believer. I'm talking about a community cultivated by the ministry of the word. We read in verse 1, I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to mere flesh, as babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. It's like a baby who's not ready for solid food. Each of us begins with milk, just a seedling. Growth is a gradual process, and this ministry of the word requires patience and time as we let God do his thing. It takes time through ongoing Sunday school and Bible class. It takes patience as we share the word with people we love. It takes God's work to cause growth as we grow from milk to meat and can handle some of the more weighty teachings, some of the more spiritual thoughts as we grow to mature Christians. And it's not just in our learning, it's also in our behavior. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not mere flesh and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, and another says, I am of Apollos, are you not mere flesh? We live in an individualized culture. So much of what we see on TV and society is all about the individual. It goes to our natural way of thinking. Self-preservation and self-fulfillment. How much of this is in danger of entering the thinking of a church? As we start saying things like, well, that's not their business. Or we think things like, I'll have my interpretation and they can have theirs. Or when we begin to suppose everyone is up to make their own choices, we leave seedlings on their own. Where envy and division occurs, where stubbornness or human reason takes over in a congregation, in a family, we begin to behave like mere humans, mere flesh, as Paul says. But you are God's field. You're cultivated by something spiritual, something deeper, as Jesus digs into the meaning of the law in our gospel reading today. It is matters of the hearts we're talking about here. And only that word can bring us to this spirit-filled meaning. The word which tells us the good news, which unites us together, breaks down divisions, and cultivates us. In the ministry of the word, we hear of Jesus, who rooted himself in the true meaning of the law, who rooted himself in your sins, in your weaknesses, and abandoned his own needs. Your sins of weaknesses, our individualized attitudes, our division and strife, were all made his. He carried your burdens. He shared all your strife. In fact, he took your humanity to be mere flesh, God himself, that he might carry your sins to the cross and to death. Yes, God is the giver of life, and he gave life to his son who was once dead. And it's the same life which he gives to you here today. Right here in the service of the word is a resurrection. Each time we come together to share burdens, to share our Savior's cross, to share our Savior's death, and to share his resurrection, he raises us up into his presence, giving us his very body and blood, that we might be a cultivated community of Christians who know their sins have been forgiven. Yes, things might look bleak. Winter can drag on. And we wonder when we'll see some life, some growth around us. But even in those dark winter months, we come in here to a place of warmth, a place we call home, a place where God meets with us, where he causes growth. This seedling might not look like much. It's just a paper towel, some water, a jar, a bean. And yet it's in such simple circumstances, even ugly, that we know God is working. God's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He gets his hands dirty so we might be clean. May that attitude be a part of this Christian community. In Jesus' name, amen.